back to Badass Bitches Tarot for the week of April 14th through April 20th. I'm your host, Cardzi B. For those of you who've been listening for a while, you know that I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in Manhattan. I began learning tarot when I was 11, and since then have turned that hobby into a tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot by Cardzi B. So did you guys have a powerful new moon in Aries last Friday as well? I felt this one was a big shift. We're still working with some powerful Aries energy with the waxing moon that's leading us into the full pink moon in Libra this coming Friday on the 19th. This moon is actually considered a double moon. So that occurs when there are two full moons in the same sign in a calendar year, and these two work consecutive back to back. It seems to be more intense because of that. The full moon last month was Mars 20th, which was also in Libra, and now this one's going to be this coming Friday. When this occurs, we see kind of an extra focus on bringing light to things that are hidden. So double full moons are said to really be known for making the unconscious conscious by bringing it to the surface. I'll go into some more specific rituals for the pink moon in Libra in a bit, but before that, let's take a look back at April's cards. So this is the second week of the Emperor, aka Beyonce in my deck, reminding you that you have the ability to set up a foundation for how you want your life to look moving forward, especially because, again, Aries is kind of that astrological new year. So it's really looking at how we're setting that base, that foundation for the rest of the astrological year. This spring, and especially April, is the perfect time to set your intentions and boundaries that you want to move forward with. For April, we also have the Two of Cups, and the Two of Cups is bringing a mutually beneficial collaboration. So look out for a strong partnership that may be coming in, whether in love or business, to help align with the universe and really co-create your best life. If you want more detailed information on the cards for April, you can go back to the April Monthly Overview, which is episode 38 of this podcast. All right, so we've got the Emperor, we've got Two of Cups. Now let's look at our card of the week. Ace of Swords. Awesome. All right. So in the Smith Rider-Waite deck, this card has a hand coming out of a big white cloud, and the white cloud's said to represent kind of fate or the divine, the universe, and the hand is holding a giant upright sword standing for truth and clarity. And at the very top of the sword, there's this big fancy crown kind of showing there's success around that, the sword of truth. There's also some kind of sketchy dark mountains in the background, and those have been said to represent challenges. So this card is really showing that you've got kind of this white light of truth and success around that power, but there are going to be challenges ahead. So it's really important to stay tapped into that inner strength of your own truth. And astrologically, Ace of Swords is known as the root of air. So the aces are all a root of their corresponding suit, right? So swords represent air, intellect. So we look at aces as the kind of the root of all of the air signs, which are Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius. And they're known for being really logical, witty, independent, and really the core of kind of intellect and communication. In the Badass Bitches tarot deck, Ace of Swords is Miney Savannah, one of my favorite humans on the planet, who has such an incredibly strong sense of self and embraces her strengths, which truly sets her apart from the area she lives in. But she just owns how amazing and badass and intuitive she is, and I truly really see that she just embodies that Ace of Swords energy. For those of you who don't know Savannah yet, you will, because she's going to be super amazing and famous one day. I often also liken this card to Hermione Granger, so more of you may know who that is. J.K. Rowling's kind of iconic heroine in the Harry Potter series, and I illustrated this card with the character in it holding a sword in front of Hogwarts, demonstrating that she's really stepping into her new truth. And just like when Hermione finds out that she's this, you know, incredibly skilled, talented, magical witch, she fully owns that superpower and really begins her journey at Hogwarts. And that's really Ace of Swords energy. This week is really about embracing your own inner superpowers. It can require a little bit of a shift from who you used to be. I had a funny little test from the universe kind of in this arena pop up just about 2 days ago. So yeah, 2 days ago, a casting agent from a Bravo show which is the premise is that it's these successful Manhattanites who work like crazy all week and basically get wasted and cause drama in a summer share in the Hamptons every weekend. And someone, you know, someone from the show called me to discuss starring on the show. Now, my past self would have been like, oh my God, sign me the F up. Yes. But some of you may know that I've been almost famous on some questionable reality shows a couple of times in my past. And, you know, it's funny, I was thinking back, and a friend of mine back then even used to joke that he and I would literally sign a waiver to our images for life while dancing to Lady Gaga's song Paparazzi, because that's how fame hungry we used to be. However, over the past couple years, I've really have stepped into a new Ace of Swords energy, and I've seen a new, really clarifying and powerful truth in the direction I'm headed. And while these opportunities aren't necessarily bad, and they may be awesome for some other people, they are clearly not in alignment for me. So needless to say, I politely declined and explained that I've transitioned from glossy fashion designer, workaholic party girl to tarot reader and intuitive healer over the past couple of years. I explained that while I doubt the show is seeking footage of me reading cards and hotboxing myself with Palo Santo to keep the others' bad energy out, I would love to be part of a series that showcases successful New Yorkers and how they're actually using their influential power and entrepreneurial skills to do some positive shit while still maintaining a fabulous lifestyle. I don't think that's a Bravo show, though. So basically, that was the end of the conversation. But that's kind of that Ace of Swords energy. Standing in your truth, even when it may not be popular or cool, or even when your past self thought you wanted something, and now you know you've moved beyond it. Then you really, really own that, and you kind of go within to own that strength. That's when you're unleashing such a much more powerful and aligned path, and that really is Eight of Swords lighting the way. So anyway, enough about my shady reality TV past. Let's take a look at this month's Ask Cardzi B questions, which I always love to hear from you guys. So the first question actually came to me from email shortly after the April monthly overview from Kai in Seattle. Kai wrote, "Hey Cardzi, you referenced the tarot and the spirit of Zen by Osho in the April monthly overview, but isn't Osho actually a creepy cult leader?" Hey Kai, I hear you on that. And some of you out there may also have the same question, so I'm going to address it. I know he now is kind of controversial, especially because of the recent Netflix docuseries, Wild Wild Country. But honestly, from what I know, the little bit that I have read and I have watched that documentary, my takeaway is that it pretty much looks like the wrong follower fell in love with Osho and went pretty batshit crazy. And those of you who've had crazy peeps fall in love with you, you probably understand my reasoning for not blaming Osho for Crazy Sheila's actions. I personally have found that the tarot in the spirit of Zen has been really helpful, especially when diving deeper into the major arcana. But hey, if you feel like this is energetically repelling you for any reason, there are a ton of other impactful books in this genre that have no controversy whatsoever attached to their authors. I highly recommend Sasha Graham's books. They're very explanatory and written in a really relatable voice. And I know Sasha personally, and she has never been involved in any sketchy cults, only B-horror movies, which are pretty great, might I add. The second question came in from Ashley in Brooklyn, and she asked, "What made you decide to use pop culture women as the base of Badass Bitches Tarot?" Thank you, Ashley. A lot of people actually do ask me this. And actually, I've just been interested in pop culture figures as archetypes and kind of the deeper meaning of how we relate to these icons and how they trigger us for a long time. More than I have been interested in fashion even, I've always loved pop culture. In my college art classes, I was always illustrating Madonna, and in high school, my locker and binders were collaged with like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Madonna, and yes, Ricky Martin, my big old Latino beard as I pretended I was super straight and so in love with Ricky. Oh, the irony. But yeah, it was these icons that really resonated on a deeper level. And I think love them or hate them, we're so inundated with pop culture that these images really are today's kings and queens and popes. And, you know, while those were the relatable icons of the Smith Rider Waite deck of the late 1800s and early 1900s, my goal in illustrating these cards was to make tarot as accessible as possible today. So I found that a lot of us may not initially have a particularly inspired action to like an old white guy with a beard sitting on a marble Marble Emperor throne, but seeing Beyonce, now that ignites something in us. And that's really what I was, you know, wanting to do here, was just create a dialogue that was relevant, that people are visually triggered by and can quickly relate to. So I hope that I've done that in some scale. And thank you for that question. I think that that's an important one. All right. Number three, we have Mike from Atlanta wrote to me, what is the hardest thing about reading tarot? I mean, this is totally different for everyone, especially in the beginning. It can often be separating your ego and really trusting your intuition. And a lot of readers I've spoken with and I've interviewed here on this podcast have talked about that. And I definitely struggled with that when I was starting out. But now I would have to say the hardest part is probably how much energy I let in and how that energy affects me. I often even tear up in readings when I see cards and feel that someone has gone through something extremely hard or traumatic. And also when I see something really beautiful, like an incredible aligned and new love coming in. But honestly, I welcome this because it really allows a deeper connection to these things and the more energy than I can offer to clients in the reading. But that being said, to all of the readers out there and those of you who are starting to read for others beyond yourself, it really is so important to rest and recharge after readings. And I still struggle with that at times. So I always say if you have like a big event that's going to be back to back to back readings, or you have multiple within a particular period of time, like a full week, I really would suggest scheduling something like a massage or a yoga class or whatever a recharge looks like for you, so you don't even have to think about it. You already have that kind of self-care built in as a reward at the end of that. So that's something to kind of just, you know, like schedule for future you and be able to have a little prize dangling out there, if you will. Number four came through Instagram. How can we get more in touch with our intuition? Do you have any good rituals for this? Thank you at Pretty Witty Anne. I use a lot of techniques for this, and I'm going to break this down into two categories, with accessories and without. So without any added extras, just with what you have, what every single person listening to this already has, meditation is the strongest. I alternate between traditional mindfulness meditations, like you can find those in the 10% Happier app, and a lot of guided meditation apps out there. And I also use some guided meditations by Luke Sellers and Louise Hay. Those are two of my favorite practitioners, and I'll link to those in the episode's podcast notes today. Also, I think that it's worth repeating this one, though I've mentioned this in the past. Playing little guessing games with yourself to tap in and to kind of test your intuition really helps grow this muscle. I like to guess things like which elevator is going to open up first, or how many minutes until the Uber comes from the moment I request it. And the more you play these games with yourself, the more accurate you get and the more kind of that intuition energy muscle really grows. Now for the with accessories category of rituals, I use a lot of Wiccan and shamanic rituals, and we all know I love accessories, as do the Wiccans and, you know, shamanic practices. So certain herbs and crystals actually really enhance intuition, and I often meditate with amethyst specifically, and I find that that crystal is known for being associated with your third eye, with psychic intuition, and I do find that helps in my meditation. I even have a water bottle that has a giant amethyst crystal that I drink my water from. In terms of herbs, I also use mugwort a lot. I drink mugwort as a tea, and mugwort really heightens intuition as well as lucid dreaming. It's really good before bed because it's calming while still kind of opening up your intuition. And you can drink it as an herbal tea. You can soak in it in a bath, and you can even smoke mugwort. It's not hallucinogenic. It's not like smoking, you know, marijuana or anything that has hallucinogens. It just kind of is a really calming, like third eye opening, intuitive herb. I also work with cacao, which I order from an incredible shaman who gets his cacao from Belize, and I'll link to him in this site as well. And cacao is, if you've never worked with it, is an ancient heart opener. And it's kind of, it's, you know, it's the what chocolate comes from is cacao. So it does have that flavor, but it's really like the raw before any artificial things or dairy is added to it. It's just it comes from the cacao plant. And it's this ancient heart opener that can be prepared with water or non-dairy milk. Definitely, I recommend almond milk. Even oat milk can be good with it, but dairy just really doesn't help in this process. So if you're not cool with water and you want something creamy, look at some non-dairy milk options out there. I also personally add honey for sweetness, cinnamon, which is an herb known for increasing intuition as well, and then cayenne really helps kind of open up the blood vessels to really receive that heart opening. And cayenne's also known for removing negativity and obstacles. So I find that combination of honey, cinnamon, cayenne with the cacao is a really beautiful blend. It tastes amazing, and it really is like a lovely heart opener. And I often do that as before my nighttime meditation or before bedtime. And then two additional shamanic, non-psychedelic, non-psychotropic plants are rapé and sanaga. And rapé it's not like a plant, it's a mixture, I should say, a powdered mixture of medicinal herbs, often with a tobacco base. And this is taken through the nose. And this practice is, it decalcifies your pineal gland, which is that gland in between your eyes, and it's linked to the third eye. So this really helps you to go into deeper meditations. It increases your psychic intuition and vision. And I know that the times I've used rapé, I have really, really incredible, lovely, deep meditations. And similarly, Sananga is an eye drop made from the roots and bark of a plant. I'm forgetting the name of it, but it's part of the Iboga family. Also, you know, non-hallucinogenic, non-psychotropic, but it's a really intense plant that improves vision, and it also strengthens our connection to spiritual realms, and it opens our third eye as well as our, you know, our external physical human eyes. And it's said to mean tears of the sun because, oh my God, yes, it does burn like a mofo when you put these drops in. And you have to put the drops in and then kind of continue to blink and move your eye around for a bit. And after a minute, or a couple minutes, so let's be generous, the burning subsides. And I personally experienced amazing increased vision instantly. Like I was like, whoa, is my distance vision back? And it's, you know, it has improved even since the time I used it, but it's something that it's not a one and done. It is something that, you know, often for physical vision needs to be repeated. But it really is good for intuition as well. And like I said, increasing that third eye in addition to your physical eye. I do recommend that you really, really look into how administer these properly. There's the YouTube videos on it. There's a ton written up about Sananga. And I had a shaman do this for me the first time. So, and I still prefer to have someone else do it for me because it's very intense. So make sure that you know how to administer it, and make sure you're getting it from a reputable source. I'm going to add a link to the rapé and the sananga in the podcast notes as well as to where I get it from. But that's something, you know, make sure you're getting it from somewhere quality. I hope that those intuition tips are helpful. All right, question number 5. How do you push through your self-doubt to read clearly? At Alyssa Rand Therapy. Thank you, Alyssa. That's a great question. And it's actually perfect to follow the above question because about rituals, because increasing intuition is really a big part of this. And it is ritualistic in terms of how do I push through my self-doubt to read. So before every reading, I say a prayer to myself as I set up my reading cloth and 7 chakra stones to align the energy of the cards. And as I'm laying out my reading cloth and laying out the stones, starting at the bottom from the root chakra stone all the way to the crown chakra at the top, this is really a meditative process for me. And while I'm moving through this ritual and while I start shuffling the cards, I repeat silently, please help me to shed the ego and disengage from this realm. Please let me use these tools to provide messages and healings for the client's highest good. That's where I usually say the client's name at this point. And then I end by saying, I don't know how to do this, but something inside me does. Because honestly, I don't know. It feels like I just allow the information through me, and I try my best to get out of the way and use my voice to translate it as clearly as I can. I think the hardest part is often when you're starting out, and this is what Zenobia shared in last week's podcast of when you're beginning and you're really, you know, trying to release the ego, but you may start intellectualizing things, and you may start telling yourself, wait, but this card is supposed to mean this, and I'm intuiting something else. There's actually an awesome book my friend Kat just gave me called Radical Acceptance by Tara Brach that addresses Buddhist approach to accepting and kind of taking your hands, i.e. your ego, off the wheel, so to speak, in order to be able to really channel and receive information and receive help when it's needed. And I think that that in and of itself is one of the most important practices in reading tarot, and probably in most healing modalities as well, is just really totally shedding the ego and not, you know, overly intellectualizing, just trusting your intuition. And then this is what I feel first, this is what I'm intuiting, and really being able to then use that to kind of move forward. I hope that that's helpful. All right, and then our last question for this month's Ask Card ZB. Are there any opportune times coming up in April to work with magic at Wild Inside Wellness? Thank you, Wild Inside. And yes, the answer is this magical full moon in Libra coming up Friday, so only, you know, a few days away, is a really awesome time. It's Friday at 7:12 in the morning Eastern time. So if you're in the U.S., you might even want to look at doing your rituals on Thursday night for, you know, kind of getting the most advantageous effects from that, which would be Thursday the 18th. Otherwise, just, you know, depending on where you are, if you're in Europe, Friday might be better. Look at your local time and really just use your intuition on the best time, whether it's Thursday or Friday, to work with this energy. As I said, this is a big one because it's the second consecutive full moon in Libra. And it's really bringing things to the surface right now. I would personally recommend working with three tarot cards in a tarot ritual for this. I would pull the Sun card, as well as Justice, which is actually ruled by Libra, and the Emperor card, which, as we know, is our card of the month, and it's ruled by Aries. So, you know, Justice and the Emperor are really kind of representing those astrological forces we're working with right now. And in addition to these three cards and the remainder of your tarot deck, it's a good time to work with a pink candle. I mean, it is the pink moon, and the color pink represents self-love and connection. And then if you want to incorporate any crystals or herbs to this, I personally really like mugwort, as I mentioned before, for psychic intuition. And I like rose petals, again, for kind of love and self-love. Often when I'm working with herbs in a moon ritual or with pulling tarot cards, I like to crush them up with some Epsom salts, and then I use them to take a healing bath after the reading. So I would pull your three cards from left to right. So starting with, on the left side, the Sun. And under the Sun, pull one card asking, what will be brought to light in this full moon? Because the Sun really represents shedding light. And it is. It's light. It's warmth. It's share. We love this card. But it also sheds light on that which is in shadow. So as you pull the first card aligned under the Sun, you know, what is going to be brought to light in this full moon period? And then your second card, Justice, pull a second card under the Justice card and ask, what will help me continue to utilize this energy in my best and highest interest? Because Justice is ruled by Libra, the moon's in Libra, and Justice is about, it's Ruth Bader Ginsburg, right? It's like, what is fair? What's in your best and highest? What boundaries need to be put in place? So when pulling the card under Justice, it's, you know, how can I utilize this light that's being shown in my best interest? And then the third pull under the Emperor card, how will this allow me to set a more harmonious foundation? So again, we know the Emperor's Queen Bee, it's Aries energy, it's setting up a solid foundation for moving forward. And the card under that is, how is this energy, this shift, these things that are being brought to light, going to help me really set a better, new, more harmonious foundation? So I hope this ritual is helpful. I'm going to be doing it this Thursday night, the 18th, leading up to the full moon in Libra. I hope that you guys have a very, very happy and healthy full moon in Libra, pink moon. Thank you again for all of the amazing questions. Please keep them coming. I love hearing them. I love being able to share them because a lot of you often even ask the same questions. So I love it's information that's benefiting multiple people. So keep them coming through badassbitchestarot.com, and you know, you can always DM them as well to @cardzb on Instagram. So we're almost to the end of the episode, but before we head out, let me give the month's recap. Again, we have the Emperor, Beyonce energy, reminding you that now is the time to set up that solid new foundation for what you want the rest of the year to look like. We have this combined with April's other card, Two of Cups, so look out for a strong partnership coming in this month. On the card of the week, Ace of Swords. Love this one. This week is a time to really step into and own your inner truth. And that's going to allow you to unleash those abilities that you have on the inside that really are your superpower. So like own it and roll with it. I also wanted to apologize that I wasn't on Instagram Live last week. I did announce it on the podcast, but I didn't get a chance to post that I wasn't going to be live. And I got several messages, and I'm sorry for anyone who was disappointed. Please, please, I was in a plant medicine ceremony, and please understand that like I really try to heal me so that I can offer more healing out there. And I am sorry when I'm not available, but I do my best to always be on at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard, which I will be this Sunday. So tune back in for an overview of the upcoming week and a chance to ask your own questions. Questions for a free live mini reading. You can also send questions through in advance to badassbitchestarot.com or Instagram message me at cardsyb, and I will make sure to get to your questions if you send them through in advance. Also, in terms of events, we do have some great stuff coming. May 18th, the full flower moon in Scorpio, another badass full moon. I'm actually going to be doing a big event at Mystic Journey in Venice Beach in California with a Q&A and a tarot deck signing. I'm so excited about that one. So if you're in the LA Venice Beach area, please come by. It's going to be really fun. There's also still space at the Rise Gathering Spring Retreat where I'm a featured reader, May 31st to June 2nd, and you can get $100 off the weekend with code CARDSY2019 at risegatherings.com. Follow at CardsyB on Instagram and badassbitchestarot.com because I'm always posting more events, giveaways, fun things. So continue to check it out to see what's going on. Thank you guys so much for listening. Have an incredible pink full moon in Libra. And as always, stay magical AF.